Welcome to the Tech Glory Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Gattune. Today's show is sponsored by ActiveCampaign. Go beyond email marketing with true automation by signing up at activecampaign.com/techglory. Get your first 2 months on me for free. Today's guest, Armin Fernandez, president of Real Time Risk Solutions. It is a nifty little mobile app that I think it's pretty novel, actually. I mean, it's essentially a risk prediction application. It's helping, whether it's your people out in the field, helping people who are in unsafe environments, whether that's digital or physical. Essentially, it's collecting enough data to create an analytics platform that could essentially tell you when you are, let's say, put it this way, entering risky waters, both literally and perhaps figuratively. I think I could use this app for my personal life. I should have asked Armin. I don't know why I didn't. Can I use this personally? The conversation we had, obviously we talk about real-time risk solutions, but we also talked a little bit about just the reality that this remote world we're living in right now will have some pretty crazy consequences. I think that it's not going to go back, and I don't mean that because Corona is going to be around or whatever. Like, that's a thing, yes, of course, but I actually think that this is something that people are going to be like, holy shit, we can do this? This isn't the worst thing. You know, you actually can work productively remotely. There are advantages. There are disadvantages too. We talk about that, but there are certainly advantages, and there's going to be some businesses that are sort of set up to succeed and others that are not, and others that will catch up and so on and so forth. But this is like a bell ringer moment here globally for us to sort of figure out like, okay, this is I didn't think this would work. This is like a fire drill, a global fire drill. We've all been put on timeout. I just wrote a blog about, by the time you listen to this, it should be in the newsletter. If you're not listening, you should sign up for the newsletter at technora.com. Pretty easy to do. And the blog essentially is talking about how we're like all kind of going towards a small group social media, and it's a little bit more fun again, social being social. And I'm not going to waste your time with that. That you can go read on your own. But it pertains to this conversation because I think there's an impact, a global impact of how we behave that's being like pushed out in front. You know, we all needed kind of a shove to jump off the digital remote cliff. And now we're also like, oh my God, actually, wait a minute. The ground's only 2 feet away. It's not that bad. Boom. We're good. Landed safely. And I think it's an important thing for people to recognize. There's some changes that'll be made, but generally speaking, I think life is going to go on at some point back to normal, but it'll be a little bit like this, but like with more human contact, not the worst thing. Anyway, Armin and I had a really interesting conversation about the fact that risk is real. Risk is in their real name too, which is great. But at any rate, this is my conversation with Armin Fernandez, the president of Real Time Risk Solutions. You know, as with the Corona impact, there's obviously impacts across the board on a whole bunch of stuff. But one of them is, I just think that this virtual remote thing is not going to just go away. I think we'll go back to normal, but like there will be a part of, you know, myself and others that are just that find the virtual thing to be, it works for us. And with that, I think there's more pressure on our digital infrastructure. And I think that results in a lot more risk potential. And then there's also just the fact that like I'm doing business with people I flat out don't know. And in the past you might meet them or you might meet somebody down the road. And now it's like, well, you know what? I might never meet you. And so there's sort of a thing there. So I'd love to learn a little bit about real-time risk solutions and sort of you and your business, and then get into kind of how this whole thing, you know, where we are in the world. Does this put pressure on you, less pressure, opportunity? Where are we at?
Yeah. Well, that's good. I totally agree with you. I think you see that the bandwidth in which we are now required to operate from home, it's huge as compared to, you know, being in an office and having more office contact and, you know, meeting more clients and so forth. So you have this tremendous ability to move into sort of making a quantum leap in business right now, right? And interesting to see how each of us react according to our cultural values. So, for example, I'm a person that is high on the social scale. I really like to meet people, talk to them, and really look them in the eyes. I find it very difficult to do this in, let's say, in an environment where everything is either on the phone or in one of the apps, you know, visual apps. And so it makes it very difficult for me to connect with people or feel connected.
Yep.
Now, on the other hand, you see my son, who is in his 20s, he has absolutely no problem going this way. For him, it's just, this is the way. And so it becomes a generational cultural issue to deal with and move forward with.
I think, honestly, and this is, I'm glad that you brought it up that way, because I fall right across the middle. So I'm 35. I turned 36 in May, which I'll just ignore per the usual. And I have to tell you, like, I have this show. Obviously, I would say this show, you know, well, I don't even know. We'll see by the end of it. But, like, I would have said to you a month ago or 2 months ago, yeah, you know, we do our shows with, you know, with call-ins when we have to. We have people from out of Chicago we have on the show. And they're good, but, like, they'd be so much better if we were in studio. I say that. And now, fast forward a month into this, and I have to tell you, I've done some of the best podcasts that we've done. And it just, you know what, it just took a little bit of time on the front end of the show to get to know them. I think that when we pumped Zoom in on a couple of them, and we're working on the technical parts of that to, like, make that a thing where the, you know, I can see you can see me, it's getting better. And then the other part is, like, I'm similar to you, and that I've always been a person who closes in the room. Like, I come in, I'm in there, we meet each other. I have a much better chance of closing. And I grew up with a, you know, a father who was in sales. And so I spent time with him doing that. And that's sort of an older generation, and but yet I understand working with all these founders about the younger generation, right? So I had I was part of this whole I don't think it's gonna work, or like, fuck, I hope we go back to the old, because this is not my thing. I'll tell you, it's been, you know, I don't know, 3-4 weeks or whatever it's been since I've been, like, really out and about. And it's not the end of the world. It might be outside of my house. It's I don't know. But, like, but this is, it does work. It just takes some adaptation. And it's, I think for a lot of the older people, the generational piece you're talking about, I hope that they open up to trying it. And that when we come back and in safe, you know, it's safe to go out again, that there's two things happen. One, the older generation has learned the skill of a digital, you know, I don't want to say closed, but like a digital business or activity. And that the younger generation, who already was awesome at this, is like, shit, I'd love to be in front of a human again.
Yeah.
Like, it could bring us together.
You know, you're absolutely right. I think, though, that the older generation has to learn, and this is what, you know, the younger generation has learned already. We have to learn how to be impactful. Doing business this way, we have to be impactful, or learn how to be impactful. And the same as we are in person, we have to be able to use the media to be able to convey our messages, to be able to persuade people, to be able to have people understand a business issue or, you know, something that you're dealing with. So it is, and it's all aspects of our lives. It's not just in, you know, in my business environment, but it's in the medical profession with telemedic, and it's just everywhere. You know, we are, you know, I've had a couple of family meeting on Google already, and it's been not as warm as I would like it to be. But the second one was much better than the first one, you know. So my family's over in Chicago, and I'm here in St. Petersburg, Florida, and it's difficult sometimes to feel connected. I would normally spend a lot of time in the Chicago area, and I would need to do that, but I've been forced now to use technology in a way that I have never imagined I would use for social purposes.
Oh, and I think 100%,
that's kind of the...
You know, I think it's an interesting piece, though. Like, as we start to do business with people that, you know, because I guess if you think about it, if the older generation is going to become more accustomed to buying and selling and trading and doing business, you know, in a non-traditional thing, which you have to think, you know, human nature suggests that if I used to do business with the people I knew, that I would likely, that trait would continue, like that I would probably have ignored potential business opportunities in the past that I didn't know the people. So like, I just sort of like was like, hey, if I run out of sales, then I'll go to these people I don't know. Now we're in a space where like you're with people that you don't know, period. Like it's just across the board. So I wonder if there will be a more higher risk of fraud, higher risk of just security breach in general, or not trusting people. Like there's going to have to be, because like young people just like fly through stuff. Like it seems like they don't even care about potential security breaches, which is probably why your business exists. But I think that this will put undue pressure on our infrastructures, because, and this might even be, I don't mean to be ageist, but this might be because of older people maybe not understanding the landscape that they're playing in and opening up potential security risk across personal and professional. What do you feel about that? Right. And how do you guys, you know, where does the company stack up? Tell me about the company you work for and how this whole kind of plays into the world.
All right. So, our company, Real Time Risk Solutions, is a company that was created by our current founder, who is Corey Davis. And Corey had this vision for this app to be built, that we could move, let's say, safely, you know, out of the Middle Ages into, let's say, a brave new world, and with this app that really had, that we're able to identify risks before they happen, and get our clients and employees home safely, and that was kind of the thrust and the vision for the app, and so in building the app, they did a lot of really wonderful things to it. And made it very intuitive and very easy to use, and put it in an environment that is, you know, very, very safe for companies to use. So and so we've been very successful with this, in a sense, ahead of our times, in a way that we are able to capture information, turn it into analytics, and that data that we get turns into like what I call risk insight. And so when you have a really, let's say, multi-model view of data, these three-dimensional types of perspectives, then you're able to really address the issues, the causes of losses, and you're able to, you know, spend on the investment that you need to. Rather than spray everything, you're like very precise in the way you spend money on safety, and you're also very precise in the way you address exposures in a company. And so this vision for this app really is what created our company and drives us forward into the future. And we've just been building and expanding on it as we move forward.
So how do you view, I mean, if the world were, this is such a weird event, right? Coronavirus is like for on so many levels, not, you know, honestly, you could break it into layers and just say like the number of people who are being let go by companies, which then means that there's areas that don't have as many eyes and attention as normal. You could then take that and go, there's more people using certain apps and certain things, which is putting pressure on it, a la Zoom. This is like this weird aberration in time that I think we'll go back on and be like, wow, like for some, it was the, like the sort of death moment. Everything just sort of fell apart. And for others, it's this like gigantic stride forward. I don't know if we were ready for that. I mean, obviously we're not ready for this from a government and infrastructure standpoint, but like from a business logic and a thought leadership standpoint, I think we talked about it, but I don't think we're ready to have something like this happen where now there is this like, hey guys, we're digital and that's reality. Like this isn't a test. And I think that companies like yours are, and there's others. We had, you know, on the show, we've had Logic Gate and we've had Keeper Security and we've had all these other, you know, guests on the podcast, and they're all important now in a way that I think, you know, before you talk about security and there's like these people who, the only ones who really get it are the ones who've had major breaches. And now I think it's like a logical next step. So how do you guys combat, or what are the things that you think you're positioned for now with, you know, the kind of the change in behavior?
So we have a very strong security system built into our apps, which is almost impossible to compromise. You would have to like compromise a Google, for example, in order to get to us. So we feel very comfortable there. But the fact remains that our clients are self-contained in the database. So they're using, they see the data, and there's restrictions on who sees the data and who inputs the data. And they're all, you know, either employees or, you know, well-known, established, screened resources who are using the apps. And so we feel comfortable with the secure environment that we operate in, and our clients, do as well. So it's just, from the security perspective, I just don't see a lot for us to, unless somebody really wants to do something nefarious, I don't see a lot of, exposure, from our part here.
Do you feel like there's an area where you guys end up being able to contribute to helping other companies and other people who are now sort of in this crazy landscape?
Yeah, sure. So our app really is to, it's really to identify risk before they cause harm to somebody. And so our app assists our clients in really being able to analyze the data. We have tremendous analytics that what we call advanced analytics, which is allowing the client to really look at risk from a multidimensional side and being able to address those risks before they become harmful to their employees. And so there's a lot of, you put it, the smoke before the fire. There is a lot, when that smoke is there, we know that you know, fire is going to follow. And so our clients are able to see that and address it. And that's the beauty of the app, is that it really is what we call advanced analytics in that respect. And it's real-time information being generated in the field and brought into the analytics at a corporate level so they can see, you know, what is happening, what's needed, and so forth. For example, if you have, let's say, a lot of observations coming through and being put on the dashboard because, let's say, there's an issue with fall protection, then it's time to somebody to take the leadership role in this area and be able to drive that knowledge into the field so that nobody falls from, let's say, a different level and gets injured. And so this is kind of how we work. It's really a great system in that respect, that we're able to be all across the board for our clients.
Can you walk me through sort of like how you guys collect the information that enables you to do sort of the predictive analytics?
This is the exciting part. So it's a mobile-first app. Yeah, it's a really, really exciting question for us because it's a mobile-first app, and what we do is we equip folks in the field with this, you know, using their smartphones with this app that is so intuitive and easy to follow along. And so they see something that is out of whack. They take a picture of it. They do a brief analysis and they send it in. And so once they do that, they're able to, feed the models that we'll see at a corporate level and be able to provide the analysis of issues that may be out there that need remediation in some sort of way. So that's one part of it. The other part is there is a file cabinet where you put all these procedures in place that are necessary for like state compliance and so forth. There's a training, a learning management center as well where people can take tests and so forth. There's like sort of 800 policies and procedures that on different safety topics the company can adopt and use, kind of best practices. So it really does bring together the whole safety environment, the whole safety ecosystem in one easy to follow app. And so we're very pleased with the results that our clients are getting. And we get feedback because we onboard our clients. We get feedback from them on how easy the app is and also areas for continuous improvement. They say, okay, what if it did this thing and that thing? And so we put it into our, you know, our roadmap and just follow through on creating some of the really, really best in class changes that our clients need to see.
Awesome. How exactly do people get engaged with you guys? What's the best way for people to learn and follow up with what you're doing?
So we have some videos, promotional videos on YouTube, we also have in our website, realtimeriskresolutions.com, we have the ability for folks to contact us directly. That comes to me or some of my colleagues, Billy Welch or Corey Davis, our founder, and we will look at those contacts and they possibly request a demo. We do that online for them all the time. So we do, you know, about 4 demos a day. And it really is, you know, quite a very easy thing to follow along using, you know, again, some of the technology we talked about earlier, visual technology, and it gets the job done. If they're interested and they see an application for them, then we help them get through, let's say, a process of, you know, deeper understanding, deeper application, how it would work in their company, give them a better picture of how that would happen. And eventually it leads to, you know, a sale of our apps.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you guys on social as well? Is there a good place to follow you guys?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are you guys on social as well? Is there a good place to follow you guys?
Yeah. So we are, you know, we are on LinkedIn and Facebook.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, I appreciate you taking the time and coming on the show today. Hopefully next time we do this, it's in person and we got this sort of combination of digital and real going on. For everyone who's listening to the show, obviously appreciate the listen. You can follow me at Katoon. You can follow Technori at Technori. You can go to technori.com, sign up for the newsletter. And if you're listening to this, you should check out the rest of our podcasts, including LogicGate, which was recently on the show, by going to Spotify and following Technori. Boom. That's a wrap.